Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Gaur Nithai Bhagavan Ki. Still a bit loud, slightly down. Continue reading about Madhavendra Puri. A Paramahamsa like Madhavendra Puri is always satisfied in the loving service of the Lord. Material hunger and thirst cannot impede his activities. When he desired to taste a little sweet rice offered to the deity, he considered that he had committed an offense by desiring to eat what was being offered to the deity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is advisable that food being offered to the deity be covered when taken from the kitchen to the deity room. In that way, others may not see it. Those who are not accustomed to following the advanced regulative devotional principles may desire to eat the food, and that is an offense. Therefore, no one should be given a chance even to see it. However, when it is brought before the deity, it must be uncovered. Seeing the food uncovered before the deity, Madhavendra Puri desired to taste a little of it so that he could prepare a similar sweet rice for his Gopal. Madhavendra Puri was so strict, however, that he considered this to be an offense. Consequently, he left the temple without saying anything to anyone. The Paramahamsa is therefore called Vijita Sadguna. He must conquer the six material qualities, Kama Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Matsarya, and Shuddha Trishna, lust, anger, greed, envy, enviousness, and hunger and thirst. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So with your permission, I'll try to share some thoughts on this continued amazing pastime of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is chastising himself because he has desired to eat the sweet rice that was being offered to the Lord. Put your hands up if you have ever desired to eat Krishna's offering before it's been offered to Krishna. Cyrus, you sense gratifier. I mean, how could you? What was it that you desired to eat? Sweets. Don't put in my mango transfer anymore. Confessed as charged. We have desired to eat it before Krishna. Put your hands up if when you desired to eat it before it had been offered to Krishna, in that moment you felt very, very bad. Okay, a few less, but still some of you. Put your hands up if you felt so bad that you just had to walk away right there and then and not even complete the offering. Wow. Sankirtan Priya, you qualify to enter the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many of us would feel so bad that we had to walk away? In fact, what we might instead do is speed up the offering. We might go the other direction, you know, like speed up the offering. So, you know, once we're in the Sankirtan van and someone was, you know, we bought some peanuts or something, whatever it was, you know, Sankirtan snacks. One devotee in the back was getting, he was getting impatient. He was like, what's happening? Like, where's the snacks? Where's the devotee goes, it's being offered. He goes, just Sri Vishnu it. What's up with you? Just Sri Vishnu it. It's like, okay, that's not a very devotional offering. Just Sri Vishnu it. So Madhavendra Puri was such a Vaishnav. He was feeling it to be a grave offense. Who would think like that? Who would feel that bad? Who has developed that kind of saintliness? Who has developed that kind of consciousness that they would feel so bad that I desired to eat something before it was offered to Krishna. That is a level of saintliness, a level of behavioral change that maybe for us is like feeling very, very distant. Yet the purpose of Krishna consciousness is a behavioral change, is a change in consciousness. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to become saintly. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to become a Paramahamsa. As Prabhupada said, this movement is so powerful that it can turn crows into swans. So that's very hope-giving, because sometimes we feel like we're crows. But the purpose of this movement is to turn crows into swans, to turn us into Paramahamsas. Hamsa means a swan. So that means that our behavior has to change. It's not to be enough to be a devotee just because we change our dress and we do some sadhana. That's not enough. The behavior must change. As Prabhupada says in this purport, one must become vijita sadguna. One must have conquered lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, madness, illusion. Balaram is known as Adi Guru. Guru is heavy. Some of us may have experienced that in our personal interactions, that the guru can be very heavy. So if Balaram is Adi Guru, then that means he's the Adi heavy. Like he can be super heavy. One time Balaram was traveling and he came to the forest of Naimisharanya. Romaharshan Sutta was sitting on the Vyasasan giving class. Balaram entered the arena. Many sages, many rishis, many eminent personalities, and Romaharshan Sutta was the one giving the class. So I mean, he must have also been a very distinguished person. Yet when Balaram entered into the sage, into the forest, and entered into that assembly, Romaharshan Sutta, who was on the Vyasasan, did not honor him. He didn't even recognize him. He didn't even stand up to acknowledge that Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Adi Guru, the one from whom all knowledge and strength comes, he failed to recognize him. Balaram got so angry. Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva Shishyodhitya Bahunicha Saitihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvashaha. He said, Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva, you're the disciple of Vyasadeva. Romaharshan Sutta was a disciple of Vyasadeva. He said, you're the disciple of Vyasadeva. You're from such an exalted lineage. Saitihasa Puranani Dharma Shastrani Sarvashaha. You've understood the itihas. You've understood the Puranas. You've understood the Dharma Shastras, Sarvashaha. Practically, you've clocked every single scripture under the sun. You know it all. You have so much knowledge. But what's the net result of all of your knowledge? Adantasya vinitasya vrita panditamanina nagunaya bhavantisma natasyeva jitatmanaha. You know all the scriptures, you studied everything, but what's the net result of all of it? Adantasya vinitasya, neither you're self-controlled, neither you're mind-controlled, neither you have any humility whatsoever. You've studied so much, but you're just proud. Vritta pandita manina, but you think you're a big scholar. Nagunaya bhavanti sma, all of your study never brought about any good qualities in your character. Natasyeva jitatmanaha, therefore you're simply like a stage performer. It's like heavy, you know. Imagine being chastised like that by Balaram. It's like... And then Balaram became so angry that he took a kusha grass and he just aimed it at Romaharshan Sutta and wiped him out, finished him off, killed him on the spot. So that's like, wow. Balaram was so heavy. He was saying that you learn so much. You change your dress, you change your activities, you learn so many shlokas, you know so many things, but the net result of it is that your behavior is substandard. He said to Rama Maharshan Sutta, it's not that you're philosophically deviant, but you're behaviorally deficient. You haven't changed who you are as a person. And therefore, you haven't understood anything from what you've been studying. Because Krishna consciousness, because this study of the Shastra is actually meant to change us as a person. I think it was Trivikram Maharaj who once came to Prabhupada. This is before he became a devotee. And he came to Prabhupada and said, and Prabhupada said, so what do you do? So Trivikram Maharaj said, I study sociology. So Prabhupada said, well, what's sociology? See, he said, Prabhupada, sociology means we study social problems such as, you know, like for example, alcoholism. So Prabhupada said, yes, you study alcoholism, and after a whole day of studying alcoholism, you go to the pub at the end of the day and chill out with your friends. So what's the point? You're studying so many things, but what's the point? You haven't changed as a person. So here, Madhavendra Puri is an example of a Vaishnav who's not just connected to Krishna, who's connected to Krishna, who's experiencing amazing rasas and mellows and relationship with Krishna, but also his elevated consciousness of Krishna is reflected in how he deals with everyone and everything around him, because he's vijita sadguna. He's overcome lust. He's overcome anger, greed, envy, pride, and hunger and thirst. He's overcome all of these things. He's actually become, he is actually a saint. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of saintly accounts of devotees who have achieved exalted states of saintliness. You know, like here it said, we must overcome lust. So it's like, then you see someone like, say for example, Raghunath Das Goswami, who has just become so renounced, that he's just become so captured by Lord Chaitanya that he's just running away every day. And then Raghunath Das Goswami's mother says to Raghunath Das Goswami's father, this boy, Batula, he's become completely bonkers. He's running away every day to Lord Chaitanya. So the mother says to the father, why don't you lock him down with chains? Why don't you lock him down with chains? So you know what Raghunath Das Goswami's father says? Indra sama aishwarya striyapsara sama e sabha bandite narileka yandramana. You want me to bind Raghunath Das Goswami with chains? Look at him. Indra sama aishwarya. He's got opulence like Indra. Striyapsara sama. And his wife is as beautiful as a heavenly damsel. E sabha bandita nari leka yandra mana. But none of those things could bind him. All the opulence, all the pleasures, all the gratification of material life could not bind him. So what's the point of binding him with chains? It's like we're all looking to get out of lockdown. We're locked down. The country's opening up soon. Lockdown will be over. Yet if we're still affected by lust, then you're still in the lockdown. This lockdown didn't begin 2 months ago and it's not going to end in one month. The lockdown has been for many lifetimes. Janame, janame. Lockdown by lust. So Raghunath Das Goswami had gone beyond that. No interest. No interest in lust. Free. Very saintly. Then we see here a saintly Paramahamsa. No envy. Has overcome envy. No matsarya. we look at our life, at least personally speaking, and think, when will the day come when we will overcome envy? When will the day come when we can actually be very happy when someone else is successful? That's very difficult, isn't it? You say, harder than feeling distress when someone is going through difficulty is feeling genuinely joyful when someone is successful. If someone's like down in the dumps and all that, it's okay. You can feel compassion for them. But if someone's flying high, can we actually feel the appreciation? The envy is so heavy. We're always measuring up against each other. Oh, this Kinchana gave an amazing class on you know, Bhagavatam. He knows many, many things, but it's okay. He's been in the movement 10 years. I've only been in the movement 5 years. When I'm 10 years, I'll know more than him. Just wait. Well, he knows many, many things, but I have certain things that he doesn't have. Comparing, envying, bringing down. But what is the mentality, what is the behavior of the Vaishnavas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Like Kaviraj Goswami went into the Govindaji temple. You can't imagine what Vrindavan was like at that time. It was just, there were just sadhus, saints everywhere. And then Haridas Pandit is in the Govindaji temple reciting Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Haridas Pandit's character is described. Vaishnavera guna grahi nade kaya dosh. Kaya mano vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. What was the character of Haridas Pandit? Vaishnavera guna grahi. Whenever he saw a Vaishnav, he could only grasp their good quality. Nade kaya dosh. He couldn't see any faults. He was unable to see faults in others. That's like, wow. Kaya mano vakya kare Vaishnava santosh. With his words, with his body, with his mind, he was only thinking, Vaishnavas are incredible. How can I serve them? How can I do something for them? Someone who had overcome envy completely. The characters of Chaitanya Charitamrita have overcome pride. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Vaishnavas of such high caliber, what do? They come in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nicha jati nicha sangi patita adham guvishaya kupe padi gona inu janam. They go in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and say, I'm nothing. My birth is low, my character is low, my association is low, and factually I'm trapped in the well of sinful materialism. Apanara hita hita kichu nai jani. Gramya vava hare panditai satyamani. Yet people glorify us. People tell us we're amazing, we're pandits, we know so much. And the foolishness on top of their foolishness, dai satyamani, is that we think they're right. Who can understand this level of humility, overcoming pride? A Vaishnava has no illusion. Illusion means that we accept something as valuable when it's not. Like, this is interesting. Mahaprabhu comes to... Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, and then one day he comes to Haridas Thakur. So he just turns up to Siddha Bakul, where Haridas Thakur is staying. And what's the first thing he says to Haridas Thakur? Prabhu kohe Haridasa... Kaha samachar. Gauranga comes in and he looks at Haridas Thakur. Prabhu kohe, and he says, Haridas, oh my dear Haridas, kaha samachar. What's the news? But this is interesting. Okay, let's do an experiment here. If Gauranga would walk through the door and come up to you and say, Prabhu kohe, Sam, kaha samachar, what's the news? What would be your reply? What would you say? What's the first thing that would come to your mind? Gauranga is asking you, Sam, what's the news? You'd be speechless. You wouldn't know what to say. What would you say? Krishna consciousness movement is spreading around the world. That's a nice thing to say. I'm sure Gauranga would be happy. What would we say? It's an interesting point. What does Haridas Thakur say? Prabhu kohe Haridas kaha samachar. Haridas kohe Prabhu. Ye kripa tomar. Interesting reply. Haridas Thakur says, when Mahaprabhu asks him, what's the news? What's Haridas Thakur's reply? The news is, Ye kripa tomar. The news is, whatever mercy you've given me. Interesting reply. What does that mean? What does it mean? Mahaprabhu says, what's the news? Haridas Thakur says, the news is, whatever mercy you've given me. The significance, who can second guess what Haridas Thakur means by that, but my understanding, my reflection on that, is what Haridas Thakur is saying, there's nothing that's really of value in this world. There's nothing that amazing in this world. There's no news which is really notable. There's nothing that really counts. There's nothing of real value in the world except Ye kripa tomar, whatever mercy I've managed to get from you. That's the only thing that's valuable. That's the only thing that's real. That's the only thing that really counts at the end of the day. So many things we think are important, we place value and emphasis and focus on. Haridas Thakur says the only news worth telling in the whole world, Ye kripa tomar, is the mercy that I've got from you. Because at the end of the day, that's all that's going to count. Everything else comes and goes. But the mercy that we manage to get is what's really going to count. And therefore a devotee is never in illusion. Because a devotee never places emphasis on things that are just transitory. A devotee, really speaking, shouldn't put emphasis on the name, fame that they get, if they're actually a devotee. Because they know it's all transitory. A devotee should not place emphasis on the influence that they're exerting or the material things that they have, because they know it just comes and it goes. Haridasa kohe je kripa tomar, but the mercy that we get, that's the real thing. So therefore, in this way you see, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is just full of all of these saintly people who just have overcome all of these things, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, greed. They've overcome greed. Like say for example, you take someone like Pratchaparudra, he has everything. Sometimes people who have everything are the ones who want so much more. I think there was once a billionaire on TV. He had just become a billionaire. So they interviewed him. So he had just like crossed the mark of becoming a billionaire, which is like obviously a notable mark for such people. And then the interviewer said to him, now you've crossed the mark of being a billionaire. Can you explain how you're feeling in one word? And you know what he said? More. Just want more. But then you have someone like Pratchaparudra who had so much. But what did he say? Jadi se Mahaprabhur napai kripadhan kiba raja kiba deha sabaya karan. He said, I got so much. But all I want, yadi se Mahaprabhur napai kripadhan, all I want is Mahaprabhu's mercy. But if I don't get Mahaprabhu's mercy, kiba rajya kiba deha sabaya karan, I'm realizing that I don't have anything, because my kingdom, my wealth, my family, my influence, my position, sabaya karan, none of this means anything. Overcome greed completely. So to overcome lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and develop this saintliness in our character, in our behavior, this is perhaps the biggest challenge in Krishna consciousness. Easy to learn many things. Easy to even speak many things. Easy to even, to some extent, do many things. You can chant many rounds. But who has actually changed as a person? Who has actually transformed their character? Who has actually become saintly? Here's a thought experiment that you can try that I sometimes do. I sometimes ask myself, if someone would see me and not see any of the sadhana that I'm doing, not see me doing any of my devotional activities, and not see me in a devotional dress, if they would just see me as a person, and they would observe how I carry myself, how I speak, how I interact with others, how I function in the world, would they look at me and think, this person is someone different? There's something saintly about this person. There's something divine about this person. There's something that this person has developed that is different to everyone else. Or would we just look like everyone else in the world? It's an interesting thought experiment to do at some point, to question, we've learned so much and practiced so much, but have we changed? Have we overcome envy? Have we overcome anger? Have we overcome the sadguna, the six enemies that are talked about here? This is a question that every devotee must ask themselves. Why is it that our character doesn't change? That's also an interesting question. There may be certain psychological blocks to us changing our character. There may be certain psychological blocks that mean you can be in the Krishna consciousness movement for many, many years and learn many, many things, but not actually change your character. The first one is that one may think changing my character is not even important. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. The first psychological block may be that someone thinks, maybe I don't need to change my character. The most important thing is I'm chanting Hare Krishna. The most important thing is that I'm learning the scriptures. The most important thing is that I'm doing service every day. Surely that's the most important thing. Why do I need to place so much emphasis on changing my character? Unless you overcome this psychological block, there will be no character transformation. So the first block in character transformation is to think that I don't need to change my character. But we do need to change our character. Because if we're affected by enviousness, greed, lust, anger, and all of these things, then what will happen is that we will be drawn into acts of sin and acts of aparad. And sin and aparad are basically the things that block the flow of your bhakti. Why is someone like Madhavendra Puri able to just like chant one name of Krishna or make an offering or be in and experience such amazing ecstatic symptoms? Why is he able to do that? Because the flow of his bhakti to Krishna is not impeded by any sin or by any aparad. Yet maybe for us, we're doing so many spiritual activities, but the flow of bhakti has become impeded by sins and aparad. And sins and aparad have their root in deficient character. When we're envious, when we're proud, when we're angry, then know for sure that we will commit sins and we will commit aparads, and that will therefore block our experience of Krishna consciousness. Sin means to do something without Krishna. Any activity that you do without Krishna is a sin. And any activity you do against Krishna is an aparad. More dangerous than sin is aparad. Because sin means without Krishna. Aparad means against Krishna. So if we don't work on our character, we will be regularly drawn into acts of sin and aparad. This is the first psychological block we have to overcome. The second psychological block we have to overcome, someone may say, okay, I know I need to work on my character. I know we should, in Krishna consciousness, work on our character. But then the second psychological block to character reformation is that one thinks everyone else needs to change their character, but my character's fine. My character is fine. I know in Krishna consciousness we have to do character transformation. That's why I'm sitting on the Vyasasan telling everyone, but I don't think my character needs to change. Because I'm absolutely fine. Sometimes we're so busy, it may be busyness in spiritual life, doing many, many things, that we've never actually stopped to look deeply at what kind of character do I have? What are my blocks? What do I need to do to work on becoming a better character in behavior? Maybe it's a lack of introspection that makes us think we don't need to change our character. Or maybe it's a lack of feedback, because we don't have people who have actually that relationship with us, who can actually come to us and tell us, you know what, Prabhu, you need to overcome this thing in your behavior, otherwise it's going to be a block. Have you ever witnessed this in devotee circles, where one devotee and another devotee is interacting, and one devotee is clearly being offensive to the other person? And you can clearly see on the face of the other person that they're becoming offended, yet the person offending is completely oblivious to it. Have you ever experienced that? That someone can be doing something so injurious to their spiritual life because of the way that they're speaking or carrying themselves, yet they're absolutely oblivious to it. Because we think my character is fine. I don't need to change my character. This must be overcome, otherwise there will be no character reformation. But there are more blocks. There are more blocks to character reformation. First block, as I mentioned, is that we think we don't need to change my character. Second block is we think my character's okay. I've changed it already. When one becomes a little bit more humble, they realize, no, I need to change my character. But the third psychological block is that one comes to a point in their spiritual life where they think, I can't change my character. I am who I am. I'm proud. I am a proud devotee. Everyone's just going to have to live with it. It's my nature, Prabhu. It's my nature to be proud. Therefore, I can't change. I've tried so many times to change my character. I can't change. For someone who thinks they can't change their character, they won't change their character. But what they haven't understood is that the process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it can turn crows into swans. You can change your character, but the question is, do you want to change your character? Are you ready to put in the hard work to change your character? Are you ready to get on your knees and pray to Krishna for the assistance and strength to change your character? That is the question. Because sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. When you engage in avyabhicharina bhakti yoga, devotional service to Krishna with intensity and with prayer and with absorption, sagunan, you can go beyond the modes, you can go beyond conditionings. You can do it. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate, you can become what your aspiration is. But we must overcome that psychological block of saying, well, I am who I am, whatever it is. I'll just carry on chanting Hare Krishna. And the devotees, that by this time, they've been around me enough years, they know who I am. They'll deal with it. They'll be tolerant. No. There's another psychological block. Now we're realizing why character change is so difficult, because there's so many psychological blocks. First thing is, one thinks it's not important. Second thing is, one thinks, I don't need it. Third thing is, one thinks, I can't do it. It's not possible. It's too hard. You know, the fourth psychological block to character reformation is, one thinks it's going to happen automatically. Isn't it? Character reformation happens automatically. When you engage in Krishna consciousness, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarveir gunaistatra samasate suraha. When you engage in bhakti, all the good qualities of the demigods will come to you. So I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it to happen. Just now coming. It will come. Don't worry. My character will change, Prabhu. Let me just be in Krishna consciousness some more time. It will happen automatically. Does character change automatically? Or do we have to make some cultivation? Do we have to make some effort? Do we have to actually begin to force ourselves to begin acting in the way that we ultimately want to be in a perfectional stage? In Krishna consciousness, there's two extremes. One extreme is to think, I don't need to change my behavior. By the process of Krishna consciousness, everything will change. And the other extreme is to think, by my power, I will change my character. Both are wrong. We endeavor, we make effort, we try, we work on our pride, we work on our envy, we work on our anger, and then we ultimately realize that beyond that, we need Krishna's mercy for those qualities to manifest in their deepest sense. So the fourth psychological block is we think my character is going to change automatically. No, it doesn't. We need to actually work on it. And the fifth psychological block is one realizes, you know what? I need to change my character. I'm not perfect. It's not going to happen automatically. I need to do it, but it's too painful. It's too painful. I don't want to look into my heart and see what my anarthas are. I don't want to hear a class like this where we talk about it because it feels depressing. And it feels like I'm so far away. And it feels like I'll never make it there. I don't want to, better I just brush it under the carpet, lock it in the closet. I don't want to see it. It's too difficult, Prabhu. It doesn't disappear like that, unfortunately. Anartha Nivritti is the most difficult stage within the journey from Shraddha to Prem. And it's explained by the Acharyas to be like an uphill struggle. Yet, one who puts effort, determination, patience into that stage of their spiritual life, realizing that, how will I ever practice devotional service in a powerful way if I don't change my character and behavior? And the person who puts effort into it, then they begin to actually, by Krishna's mercy, change. So, this movement is not just about knowing many things. It's not just about chanting many rounds, but it's actually about who we are. Will people look at the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement and say, these people are different? These people actually have some amazing character. I find it amazing. Like, I think Jayananda Prabhu is an amazing person because his character was incredible. Like, he would go out and he would connect with all kinds of people by his humility, by his saintliness. He conquered people's hearts. When Jayananda Prabhu passed away, then another devotee began to go to the places where he would go to get bhoga and other things. So one devotee, once he went to one of the places where Jayananda would go to get bhoga for the Rath Yatra festival. And then the person selling the bhoga said, selling the vegetables, said, where's your friend? Johnny Ananda. I said, Johnny Ananda? Oh, you mean Jayananda. Where's your friend? Johnny Ananda. He said, oh, no. He's passed away. This person just started crying. He's like, that person was so saintly. I never met a person like that in my life with such amazing qualities. And then you know what? He looked at the devotee and he said, you know, I don't know who you Hare Krishnas are. I don't know what your philosophy is. I don't know what you guys believe in. I don't even know what you guys do all day. But one thing I can say for sure is that if Johnny Ananda is with you guys must be good. You guys must be amazing if he's with you. Because he was an amazing person. I find it amazing that Prabhupada told the devotees, put Jayananda's disappearance day on the Vaishnav calendar and observe it just as you would observe the disappearance day of any Vaishnav Acharya. Can you imagine? Prabhupada just brought Jayananda Prabhu to that level where he said you should observe his disappearance day just as you would observe the disappearance day of a Vaishnav Acharya. And I find that amazing because it shows that Prabhupada gave us a process by which we could actually become saintly. The process of this movement is to actually become saintly. And so here in this verse, we're hearing about Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is incredible because he had such a relationship with Krishna, because he was so deep in his bhakti. But Madhavendra Puri, as Srila Prabhupada is outlining in this purport, was also amazing because he was Vijita Sadguna. He had overcome lust, envy, anger, pride, illusion, madness, hunger and thirst. He had overcome everything. His character was shining. His character was spotless. His character was saintly. And therefore, today we can meditate on that. That how much character transformation are we undergoing? How much are we developing that saintliness? And let us remember that there are many psychological blocks that we have to overcome in order to have that character development. And unless we overcome those psychological blocks, we'll never become the devotees, like the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we don't become like the devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how will we enter the Chaitanya Charitamrita? How will we enter the Sangha of such exalted Vaishnavas? And therefore, in Krishna consciousness, it's not just what you do, but it's who you are as a person. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about your sadhana, but it's about your sadachar and your character and the behavior. And that is the challenge, and it's a big challenge. And as I sit here speaking about this, ultimately we just pick topics to speak about that we want to meditate on deeply in our own lives, and therefore I'm speaking this today. But please let us meditate on this very deeply, the amazing character of Madhavendra Puri, and how we need to also think about such character development in our own life. Hare Krishna. I don't know if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Maharaj, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for bringing up the worst topic. And, you know, speaking from devil's advocate point, that it is actually true that Srila Prabhupada does not emphasize, neither in his books nor in his lectures or even letters or conversations, the need for psychoanalyzing ourselves and seeing the deficiencies. And it appears very strongly that the process does happen automatically, and yet it is true that, you know, you brought the example of Jayananda Prabhu. None of us been fortunate enough to actually have his association, but maybe some people who listen online did. But, you know, one of the, I mean, in ISKCON we have many amazing personalities still with us. One of those amazing personalities is His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, who is like a child, and he's so simple, and he's so positive, and so humble, and everything, you know, all the wonderful qualities. And I remember when I met him for the first time, and I was traveling with Govinda Maharaj, being his personal assistant, and I asked him that, how did he become like that, you know, like, how could he achieve such a level of Krishna conscious development? And Govinda Maharaj said, actually, it's an interesting question because he's always been like that. You know, from day one he entered the temple, he's already been like that. And, you know, that brings very interesting thought that, say, Jayananda, he's always been like that. And Sachinandan Maharaj, he's always been like that. And it seems like, you know, those people whose character is already exalted by dint or whatever past piety or devotion, they can display that exalted character in Krishna consciousness. But again, Govinda Maharaj shares with me personally that it's universally observed in our society that people's character does not change. Whatever character they come with, that character remains. And so, if you could comment on these two points.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you so much for bringing this
up. Challenging
this is
you.
Important. No, this is very good. Day before yesterday was David's birthday. Haribol. 28. So I was talking to David some weeks ago, and he was telling me, I said, David, you're so humble and meek. He said, yeah, I before coming to Krishna consciousness, I didn't know if whether meekness could be an advantage for spiritual life. I was like, you ended up in the right place, you know. So like, David, who is such a Vaishnava, very meek, very humble, very, very nice person. If I would try to be like David, good luck. Like, it's never going to happen. I'm a different person. I have a different character. I have a different personality. Yet, is humility and meekness something deeper than the external exhibition of it? In other words, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to be humble? Prabhupada said to him, and it's interesting, he said this to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, humility means act boldly for Krishna. That's what humility means. So it's almost like Prabhupada tailor-made the definition of humility for Tamal Krishna Maharaj. It's like, act boldly for Krishna. Yes, be bold. That is your nature. You're a person. You're a leader. You're a doer. But do it for Krishna. And in that way, it's actually, you're still being humble. So, becoming saintly and becoming vijita sadguna, overcoming lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, this is for everyone. That doesn't mean that a devotee will become a stereotyped person of the, you know, of what we think it means on an external level to have those qualities. It means that it's something deeper within us. So we must become the best versions of ourselves. Become the best version of yourself. It's like, say for example, you have an apple that you buy and you're going to offer it to Krishna. Then there are certain parts of the apple that you need to cut out because they've just gone off. They're unofferable. And then what you have to do with the rest of the apple, there may be dirt on it, but by putting it under the tap, you can wash that dirt off and then you offer the apple to Krishna. So similarly, in our character, there are certain things that just have to go. They just are not compatible with spiritual advancement. But then there are other aspects, which is just our personality, which we have to purify and just direct it towards Krishna. And in that way, we still remain an individual person with an individual personality, yet still embracing purity in our own way. So when we talk about overcoming lust, anger, you know, someone may think overcoming lust means everyone has to become a renunciate. Someone may think overcoming pride means that someone has to walk around like, you know. No, yeah. So no, it means those have to be seated within our consciousness. So yeah, this is what I wanted to mention. And I just mentioned one other point that you mentioned, Maharaj, that personally, I think that if we do look at the scriptures, then it does look a lot at what is the state of our internal life. I think actually there is quite a lot of psychoanalysis. Like say, for example, if you take a book like Madhurya Kadambini and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is then breaking down what are the characteristics of Anishtita Bhakti, what are the kind of mentalities, what are the kind of moods, what are the kind of thought patterns that unsteady devotees who are undergoing anartha nivritti experience in their consciousness. I mean, it's giving you a lot of insight into what the psychology of a conditioned soul is. And that insights of the psychology of a conditioned soul are meant to help us realize and identify this within ourselves so that we can work on it. But definitely there is a what you call a bahir panta and an anta panta. A bahir panta means the external practices of devotional service that will ultimately burn up our bad qualities. And there is the anta panta, the inner path, which is the introspection, the reflection, the prayer that one is undergoing in order to overcome these things. And so that prayerful aspect is part of it as well as the devotional service that we do. Because Rupa Goswami, for example, comes in front of Krishna and says, Matsamo nasti papatma na paradi chakaschana parihare pilajame gimbruve purushottama. Rupa Goswami comes in front of Krishna and he says, Matsamo nasti papatma, Krishna, you will never find anyone as sinful as me. Whoever sees me, they will see how fallen I am. He's coming and he's admitting all of his faults before Krishna. Of course, this is on another level, but we have to see this as an instruction that yes, the devotee is looking deep within themselves and saying, Krishna, I'm proud. I'm envious. Krishna, I'm coming before you. Help me to overcome it. But how will we be able to sincerely pray to Krishna to overcome these things if we haven't deeply meditated on it and realized this is who I am? This is what I'm going through. So in that sense.
Harishabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. My question was regarding the same topic actually. First thing we find that some of the things, maybe because of the past, it might be too painful to change our character. Mm-hmm. At the same time, is it really possible to achieve? Because this is all perfection, you know. Bhagavatam is perfection. CC is perfection. So if you can elaborate something on that.
Is it possible? It's possible because that's why we talked about Jayananda Prabhu, who came into the movement and Prabhupada brought him to that level. He said he is the first saint in ISKCON. It's possible not by our own endeavor, but by the mercy of Krishna. Katanchana shmite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vishmite vaparitam syat sri chaitanyam namamitam. Even easy things become difficult if one does not remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even difficult things become very much possible if one remembers Mahaprabhu. We must remember that the great opportunity that we have is Mahaprabhu's mercy. Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful. If we tap into that mercy flow, then it's possible we can change. Not by our own endeavor, but by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. The devotee knows, in all of this, I'm powerless. I'm powerless. Therefore, Prabhonananda Saraswati says, Kala kalir balina indriya vairi varga shri bhakti marga iha kantaka koti ruddha ha ha kvayami vikalam kimaham karomi chaitanya chandra yadinadya kripam karoshi. He says, look, first problem, kala, kalir, I'm living in Kali Yuga. That's the first problem. Balina indriya vairi varga, second problem, I'm living in Kali Yuga. And my senses and mind are out of control. Third problem, Sri Bhakti Marga Iha Kanta Kakoti Ruddha. I'm on this beautiful path of bhakti, but there's many, many thorns. So just see, he's saying, Mahaprabhu, I'm in Kali Yuga, my mind and senses are out of control, and I'm on this beautiful path of bhakti, but there's so many thorns. So then he looks up and he says, Ha ha kvayami vikalam kamaham karomi. What will I do? How will I survive? How will I make it? And then he becomes calm. Chaitanya chandra yadi nadya kripam karoshi. Because by Mahaprabhu's mercy is possible. So it's really Gauranga's mercy. We will not do it on our own power. There's no chance. Therefore, as Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, we must cry for Krishna. You must cry for Krishna's mercy. And if you can't cry for Krishna, then cry that you can't cry. But you must cry, because it's that desperation and tapping into Mahaprabhu's mercy that will allow us to achieve that change.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhuji. Before Maharaj asked his question, and Arun Prabhu, I was contemplating about this endeavor, because without one's endeavor, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I preserve what you have and I give you what you lack. And so that endeavor is what actually carries us through this process of bhakti. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was understanding that our natures, we come with our natures, we come with our characters, we come with our faults, but it's our unalloyed devotion to Krishna, to the Vaishnavas that are here, that actually helps us to sort of maybe change or even adopt their natures or their characters by seeing them, how they're behaving, how all these personalities you've mentioned are behaving and what we can take from them. Whether it turns into our nature changing or our character changing, because when we're outside, when we're pushed into corners, then our true nature comes out anyway. But that doesn't negate the fact that we've endeavored. And that's why I just was thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we try our best. And again, these discussions are not meant to depress. They're meant to actually awaken and actually inspire. Because I just lost my whole track of thought there. Thinking about something else. these discussions, we may not become that perfect devotee overnight, but we endeavor, effort and mercy. We're trying. And that trying is very, very important. And Krishna consciousness must be able to lead to a behavioral change. Otherwise, why is this process so powerful? It must. That faith we must have. We feel fallen, but we feel very, very hopeful. That is the mood of a Vaishnav. And that's how, like say for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Murkha Nicha Kshudra Mui Vishaya Lalas. He's saying, Murkha, I'm a fool. Nicha, I'm low. Vishaya lalas, I'm always engaged in sense gratification. I mean, he is just like annihilating himself again and again. But what does he say in the very next verse? But then I got the mercy. I got the mercy of the Vaishnavas. I got the mercy of Radha Madan Mohan. I got so much mercy. And therefore you're seeing this, both things, that he's feeling very, very low. He's feeling very, very fallen. He's feeling like I'm imperfect and I'm falling short. But he never becomes depressed, because at the same time he's realizing, you know what, I got the mercy. The Vaishnavas are smiling on me. Gauranga is smiling on me. The Lord is smiling on me. And therefore in that state of being fallen, one is having so much hope. So therefore Rupa Goswami is giving the prayer, Asha Bandha, hope against hope. Rupa Goswami again goes in front of Krishna and he says, Na prema shravanadi bhakti rapiva yogo thava vaishnavo jnanam ka shubha karma va kiyadoho sajjati rapyastiva hinartha dikasadake tvaitatha pyacheda mulasati he gopi janavallabha vyathayate ha ha madashevamam. Rupa Goswami goes in front of Krishna and he says, Na prema, I have no love. Na bhakti, I have no taste for practicing the angas of devotional service. Na shravanadi, I don't know many, many things. I don't come from such a good background. Practically, Krishna, if you look at me, I have no qualification whatsoever yet. Hey Gopi Janavallabha Vyathayate. You Krishna, Gopi Janavallabha Krishna, you're so merciful. You're so magnanimous. You're so kind. Ha ha mada shiva mam. Therefore I have a strong asha. I have a strong hope within my heart that there is a way out for me. So hope against hope. We must feel fallen. But we don't get depressed. Because we're very, very hopeful. Knowing that there's so much power in the process. So we should never think my conditionings are more powerful than the powerful process of Krishna consciousness. That's Maya. If you think your anartas are more powerful than the process of Krishna consciousness, you're in Maya. Because what can be more powerful than the process of Krishna consciousness? Purana say, Namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane hare tavat kartam nashaknoti patakam pataki naraha. This name of Krishna is so powerful. Yavati shakti papa nirharane hare. It can counteract more sins than you can even perform. Don't try it out, but don't test how far that might go. But the tattva is there. The nama tattva is there. That is possible by the process. So on that note, pray for me that I can become a better person. Pray for me that I can overcome lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. Pray for me that if Gauranga does ever come to me and ask me, Sutapa, what's the news? That I will say from my heart, Gauranga, Jai Kripa Toma, the news is whatever mercy you've given me, nothing else matters in this life. Whatever else we get comes and goes, but whatever mercy we've obtained, that's what's going to count at the end of life. Thank you very much. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.